All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. If you followed on social media or if you've seen the title of this episode, you'll know that the big news is the live event has been announced. Tickets are now available and they are selling like hot pickled onion Monster Munch. They are the ones. And so if you want to come, and why would you not want to come? Head over to my social media posts. There is a link there to go and get tickets. It is on 17th of May. That's a Friday. It is going to be at the Water Rat, King's Cross in London. So this will be the lineup. And the main thing is Tony McCarroll, who was previously on this podcast, will be there live and in person on stage. I'll be doing an interview with him. And if you're there, then there will also be a Q&A. And you could come along and ask your question to Tony McCarroll, meet him, get something signed, get a photo. That's all. You can even meet me and get a photo of me if you want. If that does it for you, that's fine. But anyway, yes, so that's the main thing. But on top of that, we're also going to have live music. I'm actually going to sing on stage for the first time in about 20 years, which is very exciting. And my friend Joel, who you've heard on here, will be accompanying me on guitar, and also some special guests as well, and it will be people that you are aware of from the podcast. Now, people you've heard of who've done bits for the A to Z or have called in for interviews, basically those guys that have supported me and come along and want to get up and play some tunes, we're sorting it all out. So if you're in that camp, if you want to come along, say head over to any of my social media places, Twitter probably the best, my pinned tweet on Twitter is there, or there's an event on Facebook. Any of those will have the event listed, and it's at Eventbrite. Head over there, get tickets. It is 12 quid plus there's a booking fee, so I think it's like £13.16 or something like that. But anyway, come on down. Me, Tony McCarroll, live music, plus then there's going to be tunes played through until 1 a.m. if you can stay up that late, or if you're an old git like me, you might be in bed by 10:30. So you make sure you check that. It's very exciting, so I look forward to maybe meeting some of you there. So on to today's episode. I mean, what I wanted to do really is just get a episode out to you guys quickly, because of the fact that I wanted to get that live event announced out to the podcast listeners that maybe don't follow the social media. So that was really the key point behind the episode today. So it's going to be a shorter one. And also I've got two fantastic episodes recorded that I need to edit and get out to you, which will be coming to you very shortly. And that is with Matt Whitecross, director of Supersonic, and also Alan McGee, who needs no introduction because he's Alan McGee. But anyway, so both of those I've interviewed very recently. I'm putting them together and we'll be out to you. That will be the next two episodes. And we've got more good stuff coming up. But for today, what we're going to do is I'll do a little bit of news. Plus also we have, we're going to do the A to Z of Better Man, which is the next one in the list. And the good old Ryan Harvey, who's a great help and a patron, has sent in a breakdown of Better Man, which is absolutely fantastic. So we'll play that to you. And also I'll come back and just give you some of my thoughts on it. Plus also we've had a response to my last episode from Jonas Campbell, who's a fan of the podcast. So he's done a really good breakdown of my reassembled version of Definitely Maybe. And and picked it apart and told me why it's completely wrong, which is great, which is fine, which is exactly what we want. Loads of people came back on that, me having a go at Columbia or changing Definitely Maybe, and just said, you're wrong. Okay, why? But no one could actually tell me why. It's very easy to criticize someone, but it's much harder to then give detailed reasons and breakdowns as to why. And what Jonas has put together is really good. So that's definitely worth a listen. So first things first, let's crack on with the news. And as always, I head to stopcryingyourheartout.com, which is Louise's website over there, which is absolutely brilliant and has everything you need to know about the world of Oasis. So it's not just my event on the Friday the 17th. Also on Friday the 17th of May in Glasgow, there's going to be an event there with Brian Cannon, Clint Boone and the Real People all playing at the Cottier Theatre in Glasgow. So, yeah, so if you're in Scotland and you're feeling jealous about not being able to come to the London event, then that you can definitely head over to there. In Liam news, he's got a new cat. There's Nancy to go with Sid that he got recently. Don't think there's much else to say about that. The guys have been adding tour dates. Noel's going to be playing in Bute Park in Inverness. I think that's how it's spelled. He's also playing the Isle of Wight Festival. And as well as doing the event with me, Tony McCarroll's also going to be doing a Q&A in Dublin with a screening of Supersonic. And I know, having spoken to Tony, that the plan is to do more of those shows around the country as well. So, yeah, so it's very exciting. And that's about it. I say that the news is relatively quiet. It's just these tour dates are getting added. I have actually emailed Debbie, Liam's partner and manager, just to try and find out what's happening, if Liam's plans do stuff in the UK this summer. So far, there's been, I think, 3 dates announced in Europe in about June. But that's it so far. So, not sure. I mean, it would possibly say Glastonbury. It might be that if he's doing Glastonbury, then that's kind of an exclusive and he's not going to do other big festivals, which might explain why he's not been announced for anything else. So that would be amazing if Liam does Glastonbury. But yeah, don't know yet. But anyway, so let's move on to Better Man, and I will cross over to my good friend Ryan Harvey.
Hi James, this is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys with a Oasis A to Z for Oasis Better Man. So first I'll get my opinion out of the way straight away. I never really liked this song, so I think those last two on Heathen Chemistry were really stretching your patience as an Oasis fan. Very simple, of course, as probably been said. So 3 chords, a couple of riffs, and just relying on maybe a groove, maybe back to James's hatred of Columbia, maybe it's that sort of relying on a groove and a riff to get you through. And again, they didn't keep it to 2 minutes like Songbird, so you struggle here. So guitar wise I've never learnt this one because I didn't really like it, so I had a look at a few things. So obviously the hooks they rely on is the intro, and I don't pretend to be able to play that the right way. And then it's the little licks in between. So there's a lot of... So you've got an F sharp, I think, power chord. So not minor, it's not minor or major, just power chord. To A. And then you have the... And then in the chorus we get our third chord, which goes to B. Back to A. Back to the root. So B, A, and then F sharp. In live, Noel plays with the capo, so he's doing sort of open chords, and he plays that allows him to play this little lick with a sort of open strings as well. So an interesting bit for me is on the live version, they start with the drum machine. So another one of these where, like, Go Let It Out, where Alan White is just sort of filling in over the top of a drum machine. Maybe again the beginning of the end for him. And that drum, it seems to be the same drum machine as they'd used a very similar loop, if not the same, slightly different setting maybe, when they played Do You Know What I Mean in that tour, one of the tour, I think it was the 2002 tour on Sir Finsbury Park, for example, and you can hear the audio of that.
Love you.
start with that drum, a drum loop for the Do You Know What I Mean, which is obviously they never did before, which is odd. And they dropped it down half a semitone, so I think, so they, you know, as in changed the key slightly so Liam could sing it, which I think he still sings that sort of dropped semitone version in the recent tours, 2017-18. But they don't do the drum machine. So that's an interesting thing. And I remember, one of the things I remember about Born on a Different Cloud and Better Man at the end of the album, I was getting tired of, even though it wasn't, apart from learning guitar at the time, I didn't know much about music, but I could start to tire of Alan White's sort of fills, so the sort of military fills that he did, so in between every, and he almost does that quite a lot on Born on a Different Cloud and Better Man, especially Better Man, he's just obviously with the drum machine there, maybe he's just thinking, what the hell do I sort of add here, so I'll just keep adding my signature fill in between every line. So maybe it's not that bad, maybe I'm remembering, but I do remember thinking that and listening to the album thinking, oh, I'm getting tired of this sort of drumming, it's the same. So it's something to be said that, you know, that's one of the criticisms, I guess, of Alan White playing, that his style, I guess, doesn't necessarily lend itself to these sort of rock, heavy rock songs. I think, I don't know, I'm sure many could debate on that, but that was just one interesting point with going back to the fact that they used the drum loop on the live version. Another tidbit on another live, you see Gem, I guess Gem may be involved in writing this, I'm not sure James will cover that, but as the only time I've ever seen, I'd never seen it before, was Gem approaching the microphone to do backing vocals with the, you know, harmonies with the so he's actually doing that on some of the live versions, which I'd just never seen before or since, kind of thing. So that obviously came to an end very quickly as well. And there's just some very subtle soloing, if you can call that, with Noel at the end just going up the notes like, and nothing to write home about. So yeah, that's enough for me. Yeah, not a good rating for me. Looking forward to the next ones.
Thanks very much. We've got another new song for the Eero. Was that a sarcastic joke? It's just taken me fucking 30 years to write a song. Believe you me, got the same reaction in the studio. I want you all to spit at me on this point. Anyway, apparently it's written about me, it's called Better Man.
Thank you, Ryan. That's absolutely fantastic, as ever, from Ryan. Great stuff. In all likelihood, you will see him at the live event, because he's should be coming along, which would be brilliant. So let's have a look at what you guys thought of Better Man. I did a poll on Twitter, and we put the responses to rate out of 5, or comment for 1 or 0. And and the results came out as follows. 5 got 11%. 4 got 26%, 3 got 37%, and 2 got 26%. And let's just go through some of your comments. So first off, Khan Might Say did an absolutely fantastic response, and then I realised it was completely wrong, because he'd actually reviewed It's Getting Better Man, and quite a few people, I think, had clicked, you know, 4 or 5, because they saw Better Man and thought, It's Getting Better Man, as in the Be Here Now track. No, this is Better Man, the last track from Heathen Chemistry, written by Liam. So, so I think we can probably knock off a few points from that. And good spot, Khan Might Say. Amy F-Spot said, not a fave and possibly one of the few songs I'd skip over. However, it's a definite earworm. But like that one from Wrath of Khan, not a cute fuzzy one that only wants to snuggle your brains. I'm up for that kind of sonic snuggle. Hashtag the snuggle is real. Hashtag it's been a long day. I think Owen Ling also reviewed It's Getting Better Man. Grandpa Batman said one shite. Owen Ling then he said, thought I'd vote for It's Getting Better Man. Better Man is an insipid track that tackles an anodyne endurance detailing a cliched collection of Beatles stroke Roses tricks done exceptionally badly. One. Michael Kinsella said, shit, I did the same thing. That's how forgettable this one is. Two. As You Were, who is at Lila95, said, I went 3. I think the song has potential and has some okay lyrics, but it seems kind of droney and monotone. I think it would work better being more upbeat, otherwise it's sort of forgettable. Paul Costello said, good vocal from Liam and some nice guitar sounds, but a forgettable song overall. The sun doesn't go anywhere and the drums are too soft. I always got the feeling they were trying a bit too hard to sound like someone else on this one. Our kid Danny J says, a solid 3 leaking into a 4 all day long. A dirty vocal by Liam, which complements the bluesy BB King guitar. Love the drums too when it's played loud. The only thing I'm unsure about is the confessional and maybe sometimes for Liam conflicting lyrics of wanting to be a better man. My Big Mouth says 4. Noel sums it up perfectly on the Heathen Chemistry DVD stroke singles when he says, it might not say a lot or whatever, but when we play it live and you see 50,000 losing their shit to it, that says it all. Cold Turkey electric guitar vibes, man, and I love the ahs and the oohs. Mark CTI said, if it wasn't for Johnny Marr, I would give it a 0. He managed to drag it up to a 1 or 2. The worst song I've heard him play on. My least favourite song on my least favourite Oasis album. Shane's Life, always liked it. Similar Lennon stuff used on Wall of Glass. Greedy Soul, who is at Supernova Dragon, said, anticlimactic song after Born on a Different Cloud and very drab with it. Doesn't go anywhere. The beat is boring to listen to and the lyrics are verging on awfulness. Can't remember the last time I truly listened to the track. Definitely forgettable too. Terry Appleby says, as a closer to an album that's on for a month, it's quite fitting, although they do cheat with the reprise by squeezing it out for just a few minutes more. Michael Hart said, there's a really groovy swagger to it, which it may be down to Johnny Marr's guitar work. If I remember correctly, Noel and Whitey are both playing drums on it. There's a photo somewhere. The backing vocals are cool, as is the climactic end. We Are DNA said, it's way too long and doesn't really get anywhere. The synth stroke horns at the end add a bit of life, but it's a 2 at best. Worst album closer 2, fitting as Heathen Chemistry is their weakest album. David Walker said, 2. I like the guitar at the start and when the chords first kick in. The chord changes at the end are quite cool, but a very average song at best. Well, All Right Now, Yeah, Yeah are such poor lyrics and sum the song up, should have been a B-side at best. And Zach Arnberger said, average song, fun listen, but doesn't stand out. Ross Finnegan gave it a 1. Gary Morris said, a great tune and sounded even greater played live. Daniel Cadet said, great for the time, but not standing the test of time. Daniel Hurst said, different closing to all other albums, as tend to be ballads or slower tracks. Simple riff, but really like it, and the beat of the verse, but the song really needs a chorus. Feels a bit like a demo or a B-side. Also, a bit long at 38 minutes. I went for 3, could have been 2.5. We'll get on to the whole 38 minutes thing in a sec. GH at Russ Lasky said, I quite like it. Reminds me of the rockier style of early Lennon solo songs from Plastic Ono Band and Imagine, like I Don't Want to Be a Soldier and Well, Well, Well. Not ripped off, just influenced style-wise. Something a little different from them. Gary Parsons said, love this tune. I prefer the demo with a different outro. I dig the outro more than the album version. And Nick Hutchins said, tune. Never take any notice of the lyrics. Couldn't give a shit. Well, thank you, Nick. Much appreciated. Well, I was going to do my whole lyrics breakdown, but I won't bother then. So, a couple of things to pick up from there. Firstly, the let's just cover off the basics. So as we know, it's the last track on Heathen Chemistry. It follows from Born on a Different Cloud, which is a Liam-written song. And then it's another Liam-written song to finish the album. So it's a very strange way to end the album, with two songs written by Liam. You wouldn't have thought that would be a typical way to finish the album, but that's how they've chosen to do it. And then there is this bizarre gap then. There's all this silence. And at the very, very end of it, a track called The Cage comes in. Now, depending on what you look at, what version you've got, sometimes The Cage is credited and sometimes it's not. Sometimes Better Man is just credited as being 38 minutes long. And so, therefore, forget All Around the World, Better Man is the longest song in their output. But obviously it's not. It's just because there's like half an hour of silence before the instrumental The Cage kicks in. And that point that was made about the demo there, I don't know if people are aware of this, but yeah, there is an alternate version which is leaked online. There was a demo CD called Heathen Demostry, which is now you can get on YouTube. And you can hear some subtle differences in it. It's not massively different like some of the demos are, but it almost feels just like an alternate take rather than a demo, because it sounds relatively similar. But the one difference is at the end. The end you can hear is definitely different. So let's have a bit of that. In terms of personnel, as was commented on a couple of there, the biggest thing that's different from the normal lineup is that Johnny Marr's on there. Johnny Marr is playing guitar. We've got Paul Stacey, Strange Boy, plays Mellotron on 11, and Johnny Marr plays guitars and also does the backing vocals. So imagine that's partly is him doing those oohs and ahs as well, involved in that. So lyrically, it does to me sound like a confessional song. Liam talking about wanting to be a better man, as he says. I want to love you. I want to be a better man. I don't want to hurt you. I just want to see what's in your hands. Well, all right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know you'll understand. And that's it. That's all the lyrics. So what's he saying there? So at the time he was with Nicole Appleton. They got together in 2000. Jean was born in July 2001, and Songbird was written for her, so maybe a bit of a love-in at that time and inspired these songs from him. You know, and yeah, it's nice for him to talk a bit about his personal life. It's always good when there's, you know, actual meaning behind the song, but just a bit of a shame that's it. You know, there's not much else going on. It would have been nice if someone said in there to have a chorus or something different, or a middle eight, or something. There are some dynamic changes in the song, you know, like when it goes to that, I like the part when it goes to the solo, and there's like the oof, oof, you know, those sort of bits. That's quite good fun. I can imagine that would have been quite good fun in the studio to do that. Other than that, it really is just a cool sort of guitar workout, really. So it's like a jam with sort of the guitars going back and forth and warring. And if you listen on headphones, there is, I quite enjoy all the guitar work going back and forth. And it's quite good, you know, from one of the things that Ryan pointed out is that when you've got live, it's really a demonstration of how Noel did take a step back. And you can see that it's Gem is playing the majority of the riffs, and it's Noel's tends to do much more rhythm in it as Gem takes over a lot more of the lead, which I think does probably filter in more into my argument I've made in here before, that there's a likelihood that Gem probably did help with the overall construction of the song, or at least maybe the arrangement, maybe not the chords and things, because it's pretty simple and basic. And so you've got the feeling that Liam probably managed to come up with that himself, but possibly if Gem was involved in the more the arrangement side of, you know, when to go to a solo, when to come back out of the solo, when to go into the different bits, what riffs to use and things. So maybe Gem helped out a bit in that front. I'd be interested to find out. In terms of when it was played live, it was first played in the Heathen Chemistry sort of pre-shows. First time was at the Columbia Halle in Berlin. And it was most recently played at the Berlin Arena in Berlin, which is quite interesting. They played it 86 times between 2002 and 2003, and then after that they never played it again, and it doesn't look like it's been covered by anyone. So yeah, generally it just tends to be a song that's kind of pretty much overlooked, and that's how I tend to feel, to be honest. I do enjoy it, I think it's fine, but yeah, Heathen Chemistry is probably my least favourite album, I'd say, or it's there with Don't Believe the Truth, the two of them, probably my two least favourites, kind of neck and neck. And yeah, this is not one of my favourite songs, so I would probably be going a three as well at this point. So the other question we always ask about these A to Z songs is it correct where they were? So in this instance, Better Man was the closing track on the album. Is that the right place for it? Would it have been better as a B-side? If it would have been better as a B-side, what would have replaced it on the album? Now, it's a tough one because I don't think there was a huge amount of absolutely brilliant songs around at the time of Heathen Chemistry like there was, for instance, Definitely Maybe and Morning Glory and Be Here Now. I think they've kind of all been dried up from then. I mean, you've got the likes of You've Got the Heart of a Star on the Songbird single. You've got Thank You for the Good Times and Shout It Out Loud. With B-sides of Stop Crying Your Heart Out, and you've got Just Getting Older and Idler's Dream from Hindu Time single. So it's mainly it mainly tends to be sort of, you know, those more Noel sort of type songs. So would we replace Better Man with one of those? I mean, possibly something like Thank You for the Good Times would have been a nice option in there, and also it would have been good. I know Andy Bell gets a credit of A Quick Peep, but with it just being sort of a minute long little instrumental, actually, yeah, it would have been nice for Andy Bell to have the a proper full song. And yeah, Thank You for the Good Times, the closing track with the message, might have been really nice, actually. So I'm going to say we'll do the full album when we get to it, similar to we've done with Definitely Maybe. But for now, I'm going to say let's drop Better Man down to a B-side and let's have Thank You for the Good Times closing the album. But anyway, what did you guys think? Did you have any thoughts on it? Come back and let me know. Or next up in the A to Z is Bonehead's Bank Holiday. Now, a couple of episodes ago, you might have heard me talking to Mildmannered Max, and one of the things that we talked about on there was a new podcast called the Britpop Banter Podcast. Now, I hadn't heard it at the time that I recorded that, and Max had heard, I think, a couple of episodes, and I was quite dismissive of them. Like, firstly, because of the word banter, because I don't really like the word banter in that fashion. And secondly, because it didn't sound like what they were covering was necessarily what I would call Britpop. So, for instance, when Max told me that the first album that they covered was Screamadelica, I actually laughed out loud in quite a rude and dismissive way. I've since carried on listening to it, and I get where they're coming from now. Basically, the whole point is they're using Britpop as kind of a coverall term to cover everything that was kind of indie and Britpoppy and alternative in the 90s. And so that's kind of their overall term is Britpop. Whereas I think when you tend to dig into it online, people tend to say Britpop is kind of 92 to 97, and people sort of anything outside of that or anything that doesn't really fit in with that sort of definition as well, and like the musical definition of it, tends to sit outside of that. But anyway, so I got in touch with those guys because I did feel bad after I'd sort of put them down, because, you know, they've gone out there, they've built a podcast, they've done a really good job putting it together. It just felt a bit mean. So I reached out to them and explained the situation, and they have kindly dropped me a message. So let's have a bit of that.
Hi, James and Oasis podcast listeners. This is Les and Kev from the Britpop Banter podcast.
G'day.
G'day. We just wanted to respond to the comments that were made around our podcast in the Definitely Maybe Remastered episode.
Yep.
We just kind of wanted to share why we're doing this podcast and what the podcast is all about.
Yep.
Basically, look, we're two mates who have a real love of the Britpop and indie genre from 1990 to 2000. We cover bands and albums that mean a lot to us. Look, we are not experts. This is not the purest guide of Britpop from 93 to 97.
Yeah, I agree.
By any stretch. But we do talk about Britpop in some depth. You know, what that genre was, where it came from, and we do a bit of research into it. But ultimately, it's just about us enjoying the music that we have loved and meant something to us. And yep. If we can introduce or reintroduce those albums back into people's listening, then I think that we're doing a great job.
Awesome. And so we are at Britpop Banter on Twitter, and the name of the podcast is Britpop Banter. Come and have a laugh, come and have a listen to us. We do make some tweaks moving from episode 1 to 2 based on everyone's excellent feedback, which we're completely open to. We are learning as we go through this process. But hopefully you'll come over, have a listen to us, and stick with us. Thank you so much for even discussing us on your podcast. Good luck with the upcoming gig, and we'll talk to you down the line.
And with regards to the title, you know, Britpop stroke indie stroke albums we love, banter doesn't roll off the tongue. So
no, it's not easy, is it?
We're just going to keep it as Britpop Banter, but we hope that you continue to listen.
Yeah, fair point. Les, we've got to get out of here, okay? We've got Dame Edna to see, and we're going to drink some Fosters.
Amazing.
All right, cheers. See ya.
Bye.
So thank you very much to Les and Kev for doing that for us. And the Dame Edna joke, I don't know if you heard it, but I was saying that the fact that it was an Australian podcast and one of the people was called Les, I could just imagine the Les guy that's played by Barry Humphries, also does Dame Edna, that is Les Patterson, who's like a comedy sort of drunken Australian character. But as you heard, Les is a Scottish woman, so I was completely off the mark there. But anyway, yeah, check those guys out. It is an interesting listen. I've listened to a couple of the episodes now, and it is good fun. The only thing is they do dismiss quite quickly a lot of bands I really love. So, for instance, Divine Comedy were dismissed quite offhandedly, which almost made me turn it off, but I've stuck with it, and they are quite entertaining. So definitely check those guys out. Anyway, So now, as I say, referring back to that Definitely Maybe Assembled episode, I did get a lot of people sort of questioning it and saying that I was wrong or mad or had been drinking or whatever. And I wasn't winding people up. I genuinely think that that was a interesting way to do it. But one of you did come back with a really good long message breaking it all down for me.
Hiya, it's Jonas here. I'm a big fan of the Oasis podcast. So yeah, keep up doing the good work and thank you very much for all the episodes. Like, I've spent many an hour sitting down listening to, you know, the A to Zs and interviews with certain people and I've loved all of them. So thank you very much. Yeah, so just listening to your 25th, your first 25th anniversary episode. And I was kind of in a similar position to you. Like, I think it was sort of end of summer. It might have been around the time it was like end of August when Definitely Maybe was released. And I thought, how many years has it been? It's been 24 this year, which means it must be 25 next year. Oh, wow. Didn't realize that. And that's, I'm kind of excited about that. And I've already got it booked in my calendar, like, you know, the 25th anniversaries of the singles that came out and all that and the lead up to the album. I mean, I wasn't alive when all this was coming out, but as just a diehard Oasis fan, I still think it's very important to me. So also I'll quickly add before I go on to talking about your revision of Definitely Maybe. 2019 is also an anniversary, quite a big anniversary for a couple of my other favorite albums. So as well as being the 25th for Definitely Maybe, it's also the 30th for the Stone Roses first album, which I love. And it's also 50 years since Abbey Road was released. So by the Beatles, obviously. 25 years since Definitely Maybe, 30 years since the Stone Roses and 50 years since Abbey Road. It's like my three favorite bands. So we've all got major anniversaries this year for classic albums. So excited about that. I want to kind of preface my my critique of your revision of Definitely Maybe with just kind of talking about the message of the album and like the tone of the album and what it kind of was trying to say to me. And I think to most people, Definitely Maybe was all about living life, being happy, living big, like living to the full and enjoying your life and all that sort of stuff. And kind of wanting it all, I guess, you know, that's kind of where the first issue I have. Well, I just have an issue with all the tracks that you've. This might sound really bad, but I just have an issue with all the tracks that you've put in instead of other tracks. And it's mostly due to just kind of like, because they're all good songs, but I think they just don't work thematically in the album. They don't work in terms of the overall theme of the album. So the first one would be Fade Away. And I understand that, you know, it makes, like, musically, it makes a lot of sense. Like, sonically, it sounds really good as the second track, because you have the ending of Rock and Roll Star, and then you have that kind of punky opening of Fade Away with those chords. So musically, I can see, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But then you've also got to think more than that. You've got to think, like, thematically, Fade Away, I think it's more of a Morning Glory song thematically than it is to fit on Definitely Maybe. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the sadness of how your dreams as children, well, the dreams we have as children fade away. While we're living, the dreams we have as children fade away. So it's all about, like, you know, lost childhood fantasies and all that sort of stuff. And it's a nostalgic song. It's one of Noel's, you know, it's what he's good at. It's like, it's one of his, like, nostalgic kind of looking back at the past and when you were young. And it's like, almost like, do you want to be a spaceman? It's that sort of mood. And so, first of all, I don't think it works in the album, Definitely Maybe, because it doesn't really fit with the mood, I think, that. And the message of Definitely Maybe, which is all about looking forwards and looking forward to the future and wanting to get out of where you were growing up and get into the world and take it by storm. Whereas Fade Away is all about kind of missing how you were as a kid. So it doesn't really make sense. So having that after Rock and Roll Star, which is, you know, I live my life in the city. There's no easy way out. The day's moving just too fast for me. You know, tonight I'm a rock and roll star. and then to have Fade Away after that, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So as I say, sonically it makes perfect sense, but thematically I don't think it works. And I think Shaker Maker worked perfectly because it's like, it's a perfect, it's like, it's, you know, it is the 12 bar blues progression, but as like a rock and roll song, and I think that works really well. I think it works well because, you know, you were saying how the whole album formula thing of you start big and then you go even bigger, but I don't think you can get much bigger than Rock and Roll Star, so there's no point kind of trying to, you know, stick to that format, because I don't think you can find a song from the Definitely Maybe era anyway to be bigger than Rock and Roll Star. So you just have Rock and Roll Star, have that massive fading out sort of you know, outro, and then, you know, it's that the chiming notes of Shaker Maker come in and you're sort of like, oh, this is cool, like, what's this? You know, you've had a big rock and roll song and now they've got this kind of bluesy groovy thing coming in, and it's just a great tune, and it's kind of a silly song, but it's like silly optimistic childhood nonsense, and it's brilliant, and I think it works, it just works perfectly well, you know. And he's talking about his childhood as growing up in like a positive way, you know, the whole thing of Mr. Sifter sold me songs when I was just 16, and it's quite psychedelic as well, that song, and I think that makes it, you know, interesting second track, because it's like, okay, so you've had this big rock and roll song, and now you've got this kind of interesting, slightly psychedelic, bluesy thing. And it kind of makes people think, oh, okay, this is really interesting, actually, this album. So I think Shaker Maker works perfectly as the second track. So to progress through the album, Live Forever, again, like, yeah, that's perfect as the third track. If you're listening to it on vinyl, it works perfectly at the end of side one. Yeah, You Kept Up in the Sky. I think you then took it out, but Cloudburst in. And I think Cloudburst works equally well, I think, as track four, beginning of side two. I think it works perfectly well because they're both kind of like slightly fast paced rock songs, and they sort of, they're similar. They're not similar, but they're similar in the sense that they're just quite steady and quite, you know, you can hear Tony's drumming quite well on them, and like they're quite optimistic sounding songs. And so I think you could interchange them. I think that would be fine. Like, so now we got to Columbia. So I'm not going to give you a lot of shit for that because I think, you know, I can see why you don't like it. But I just think, like, the reason you like it is the reason I think I love it, is because it's like, and I think it works perfectly as that track five, middle of side two, because it's like, it's just this steady groove of like awesomeness, the same three major chords like throughout the whole song. And it's just like, it's just brilliant, I think. And you might say that's boring, but like, you know, you listen to it and you think, no, I think I love it. And Noel's little riff, like do 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 do, do. And then the outro bit of come on, come on, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that, but I can get why you maybe wouldn't, you don't like the song. But I also take issue with putting Listen Up in instead of it for a couple of reasons. First of all, again, it's that thematic thing of like, it doesn't work indefinitely maybe. You know, I don't mind being on my own. Like, I don't believe in magic. Life is automatic. It's like, it's quite cynical and it's like sort of depressing and angsty. And again, that, you know, that doesn't, if you say, oh, angsty, definitely maybe, it's like, they don't go well together. Maybe it's all about optimism and all that sort of stuff. So I don't think Listen Up works thematically in there. I think the song itself goes on for a bit too long as well, but that's just a minor complaint because I do love the song, but thematically it doesn't really work. So I wouldn't put it in for that reason. And I also think it's definitely a mistake putting it next to Supersonic in the album for the obvious reason that the intros sound basically the same. Listen Up is basically just like a sad version of Supersonic. And so to have them, you know, as it, both in side two, as tracks five and six, people, I mean, yes, Listen Up is long, but like people would kind of listen to Listen Up and then they'd listen to Supersonic and they go, haven't we just heard this one? I swear, didn't this one just play just now? Oh, well, you know. So I think it takes the magic off Supersonic if you have it just before, if you have Listen Up just before, because they sound, sonically, they sound quite similar. We'll be right back. So those are the two reasons why I wouldn't put Listen Up in. But it is a great song, and I can see why you've put it in. But I think it works well as a B-side. And I think the only way I could see it in the album is if it replaced Slide Away towards the end. But, you know, why would you replace Slide Away in the album? That's just that would be an absolute crime. So I think it's just a less impressive version of Slide Away. So I think that it works well, therefore, as a B-side. And it's a very good B-side. And also, no issue really with, like, having to bring it on down. Cigarettes and Alcohol, Dixie's Dinner. I think they're all great. Yeah, Dixie's Dinner is like, you need a song like that on the album. Something that doesn't take itself so seriously, but it's also quite a jolly upbeat sort of rock song. And I don't get why people don't want it in, because I think it's great. And then lastly, so you can't end, I don't think, with two brooding songs. Because again, it's that whole thematic thing of, you know, Definitely Maybe is supposed to be all about optimism, a rejection of like grunge and depression and like hating yourself and hating the world. It's meant to be an antidote to that. To have all these like brooding songs throughout it, it means the album doesn't know what it's trying to say. And that makes it a bad album, I think, because like the good albums know what they want to say, what they want to do, or what they want to sound like. So if you just had all these different like brooding songs spliced throughout, it wouldn't work for this album. It would, as I say, it, you know, that's what Morning Glory is. Like, if you look at Morning Glory, it's like you have Hello, which is brooding, you have Roll With It, which is upbeat, you have Wonderwall, which is brooding, you have Don't Look Back in Anger, which is upbeat, you have Hey Now, which is brooding, Some Might Say, Cast No Shadow, She's Electric, Morning Glory, Champagne Supernova. It's like very much a back and forth between upbeat optimism and then a bit more reflective, nostalgic, brooding kind of tone or theme. And that works well as a second album, but as a first album, what they wanted to do was to be like explosive out of the blocks, sheer optimism, get people going, get people, you know, high on life and high on their music, and obviously on drugs too, which I think they definitely endorsed. So I don't think that works to have it in all those songs of this album. And so therefore to end it with like It's Good to Be Free and then Slide Away, it just doesn't work, I don't think. You know, I think originally it's Dixie's Dinner, Slide Away, Married with Children. That worked fine because you've got Dixie's Dinner, which is like a jokey upbeat song, doesn't take itself seriously at all, and it's kind of nonsense. He's talking about lasagna and all that stuff, and it's like, what you've been saying. And then you've got Slide Away, which is sort of this epic balladic, is that a word? I assume so. It's epic ballad, like just tucked away in the middle of the last slide there, and it's just this awesome, you know, I can't even describe how good it is. I listened to it on vinyl for the first time the other week on headphones, and it just blew me away. I had it so loud, it was unbelievable. Have that, I think, there works, because it effectively, in the original version, it effectively is the last song, but it's not, because you've got that little Married with Children tucked away at the end. And I think one of my friends described Married with Children perfectly when he described it as a palate cleanser at the end of the album. So you've had all these like epic rock and roll, you know, bangers, and then you have Dixie's Dinner, kind of jokey, and then you've got Slide Away, which is just like, whoa, you know. You lull us into a false sense of being like jokey and happy in this Dixie's Dinner, and now you're just like tearing us apart with this epic rock ballad. And then after that, because they don't want you to go away from the album feeling depressed and feeling like, you know, oh, fuck, what was that? They have Married with Children, which is like, you know, Liam's like nice, sweet vocals and just a guitar. And it's just kind of, again, like a silly song of, you know, your music shite, it keeps me up all night. It's like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I played it to my friends once in the car, and he just laughed at that lyric, you know. And it's just a nice little acoustic thing tucked away at the end to make you kind of go walk away going, no, I actually enjoyed that. That was good, you know. So I think Married with Children is needed at the end. You can't have those always brooding songs like place throughout because it upsets the theme and the tone of the album, the themes and the tone of the album. And I think you need Man with Children at the end, cleanse the palate, I suppose, and make the listener not go away feeling utterly ruined after listening to Slide Away, which, I mean, it was voted, you guys chose it as the best song on the Knockout Tournament. You know, it's a strong song. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say about your revision of Definitely Maybe. And I would keep it, I'd keep it basically the same for the reasons that I've stated, but I also, you know, as I said, I think Up in the Sky is easily interchangeable with Cloudburst, because Cloudburst is a great song, and I think it does the same job as Up in the Sky. I think it works there, so you could easily change those out. I think it'd be fine. Because after Live Forever, end of Slide One, you know, you flip over the record, or if you're listening to it on CD, you have that big sort of outro of Live Forever. And that's a bit more of a reflective song. It's also quite upbeat. You know, it's just a great song, that one. And after that, you want to get back into the swing of the rock and roll. So you have, you know, Up in the Sky goes dun 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 dun, and the drums come in dun 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 dun, and it kind of gets you back into it. And I think Cloudburst would do the same. They would do the same job, get you back in the swing of things. Then you'd have Columbia, which is this epic like 5-minute groove. And I mean, how can you take a song out of the album which Bonehead said was his favorite to play live? I mean, that's just a crime. But anyway, and then you have Columbia, and then you have Supersonic. After the kind of steady groove of Columbia, you have the kick-ass drum beat of Supersonic. It's a bit more of a conventional song, and you have that, and then that's the end of, I think, side two. But anyway, and then the rest of the album works fine. They've got Cigarettes and Alcohol and like those bangers, and then you have Dixie's Dinner, Slide Away, Married with Children, and yeah, I've already explained why those work well. But I've spoken for way too long now. I'm sorry. You know, you might not be able to use any of this, but cheers. Yeah, love the podcast, and I'll be listening keenly for anyone else's opinions and for your next content. And I'm so looking forward to the interview with Matt Whitecross, Alan McGee as well. So that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that as well. So great job, mate. You know, love the podcast. Cheers.
Jonas, that was absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for that. That was fantastic. And I completely agree. I completely agree with pretty much everything you've said. I hadn't even thought about the thematic nature of the album, the message of the album. I was just literally going song by song, what would work well in each spot. But I think you're absolutely right. I think that the theme of the album should be you got to make it happen. Tonight I'm a rock and roll star. That is the point of the album. And yeah, by having Listen Up, It's Good to Be Free, and Fade Away, it definitely does. It definitely makes it much more contemplative and a much more nostalgic, thinking back to childhood sort of album, which, yeah, it's not what it's about at all. It's about getting away from childhood. So that was a really good shout. And I suppose ultimately the point of this is, yeah, it's pretty much a perfect album. So, yeah, so thank you so much for doing that. And if anyone else would like to chip in with their message, then do feel free. Do go ahead. Let me know what you would do with the album. Would you just keep it the same? Would you make the changes that I've made and that Jonas is suggesting there? So, yeah, absolutely brilliant. So that will do it for today's episode. As I said, stay tuned for Matt Whitecross and Alan McGee coming up as the next two. And please come along. If you're anywhere near London, you can make it Friday 17th of May. And don't delay. Tickets are likely to sell out. So head down there, head over to any of my social medias, or if you look in the notes section of this podcast, the information is there. Come on down and get some tickets, and I will see you down there Friday 17th of May at the Water Rats Oasis Podcast Live with Tony McCarroll. Now, we've had a few iTunes reviews in the last couple of weeks, so let's just go through those. PS Photography Dublin said, Live Forever, 5 stars. Only finding this podcast now. What can I say? Only thank you so much. Amazing podcast and guests. You have filled some of the gap left behind by the band. 10 stars out of 5. Brilliant. Thank you very much, PS Photography in Dublin. And also Cheerful Jamie says, a great podcast that centres around Oasis, but does veer off onto other bands and subjects, which is a good thing. It's great to hear accounts from the inner circle, but just as interesting to hear stories from us fans, and brings back great memories. Thank you very much for those. And if you too would like to do a podcast review for me and have it read out, if you head over to the review section of whichever podcast app you use. iTunes or Apple Podcasts is the best. Just go to write a review, hit 5 stars, and write a few words. And I will post it probably on Instagram, and I'll read it out, because that's how big-headed I am. So thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and a special thanks to my patrons. And there's been a couple of new patrons signed up recently, so that is greatly appreciated. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, where you'll see exclusive episodes and articles and other various bits. Follow on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com with your reviews or questions or audio messages. T-shirts with the logo are available at TeePublic. And as I said, please subscribe and review on iTunes. And as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. And come and see me Friday the 17th of May, Water Rats, London, with Tony McCarroll.
And the drums come in. I can feel the air beneath me. And then it goes do 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 do. And Noel's little riff like do 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 do. And then the outro bit of come on, come on, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your music's shite, it keeps me up all night, up all night.